Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe that October is just about departed. And of course, tonight, most towns are celebrating Halloween. That's October 31st, if you're listening to this on Saturday at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow, November 1st, is another big day in Manchester. We have the Manchester Marathon and Half Marathon with a starting time of 8:50. So it seems like this year flew by. I think I'm starting to sound like my grandparents, though, because it just seemed like it was last winter, and now we're embarking on the new winter. So here we are, Halloween, lots of candy, treats, things like that. And with me today is one of my colleagues at Northeast Delta Dental, Dr. Randy Tillman, who's going to be talking about tooth decay in small children. So your timing is perfect, Randy, because I really believe that a lot of parents are aware that candy can't possibly be good for their child's teeth. So I think today's show will be really informative. So thank you for joining me this weekend. I know that you see a lot of me during the week now, so you probably the last thing you want to do is to be spending Halloween night with me. But here you are in the morning, October 31st and November 1st. So thank you for joining me, Randy.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
So what is new on the subject of tooth decay? I know that I'll just speak personally. I have four children. None of them have caries. They grew up with fluoridated water, obviously. They were trained in going to the dentist and brushing and flossing. So it seems like tooth decay is one of those probably frustrating things where because there is, in fact, a solution. Fluoridated water and go to the dentist and take care of your teeth between visits. I mean, I'm oversimplifying, but that's basically what it is. So what is new on the subject of tooth decay?
Tom, you're absolutely right that it's very frustrating because tooth decay is preventable, and yet it really has become an epidemic among our youngest children, and I would define those as children under age six. And it's a particular kind of tooth decay. It's called early childhood caries, and that's the type of decay that is faced by most children. And research has shown that caries, or decay as we more often call it, can have a negative impact not only on the child's oral health, but also on their systemic health and also on their physical, social, and emotional growth as well.
So I'm assuming that's a mouthful there. No pun intended. But you have the esteem issues. Obviously, if you have bad-looking teeth, you're probably not going to be smiling. And then later on, as you become a young adult and you're looking for a job, that's going to hold you back. Either you'll be self-conscious about it or your employer will notice that, a potential employer. And then you have the overall health systemic relationship. And then you have something like, obviously, if you have bad teeth, you probably have an inability to eat a lot of fruits and stuff like that. So that's all sort of coming together.
Yes, that's absolutely right, Tom. And I also think that for adolescents, I think maintaining good teeth is very important because that's when we're socializing. That's when we want to date, when we want to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. We certainly want our teeth to look nice, and we don't want to have bad breath. Unfortunately, though, tooth decay is the single most common chronic disease of childhood.
Now that's shocking, though, isn't it?
I find that a shocking statistic. As we said earlier, it is preventable, and yet it is still the single most common disease of childhood. It's five times more prevalent than asthma, four times more prevalent than early childhood obesity, and 20 times more pregnant than diabetes.
And indeed, those are shocking statistics because, of course, we all hear about the epidemic, if you will, of childhood obesity, and as well as, you know, diabetes is always, you know, in the news as well. So you're saying that tooth decay is 4 and 20 times respectively more prevalent than those two things?
Hard to believe, isn't it? It really is hard to believe.
And I know, as well as chair of the State Board of Education, we have a ton of statistics. And that after the common cold, issues with teeth, you know, are the number two reason for lost school days.
That's right. I mean, if a child has pain or discomfort in their mouth, it's hard to concentrate. It's certainly hard to go to school. I mean, it's a distraction for a child just as it would be for us.
And of course, as a CEO of a company, we also know, and of course, we're a dental insurance company, so hopefully this isn't our problem, but yeah. But obviously tooth issues, tooth decays, and so forth are also responsible for a plethora of lost workdays.
That's absolutely right.
So I would encourage my fellow CEOs, it's better to have your employees take some time off from work and go see their dentist and encourage them with good oral health habits than, of course, ultimately, it's like a lot of things in life, it's pay me now or pay me later. So I think let's circle back, and why don't you more specifically define early childhood caries, or ECC, and is that acronym, is that now pretty common that people use that in the industry?
It's certainly within the profession, a well-known acronym, ECC, early childhood caries. And ECC is really an infectious disease that can begin as early as the teeth first erupt into the mouth. And children get their first teeth anywhere between 6 months and a year. And in the right conditions, those teeth can become decayed. And it, as we said, causes a great deal of discomfort for the child. The American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry defines ECC as the presence of one or more teeth that are decayed in a child age six or younger.
Great. And after commercial break, it'd probably be good if we review what the Academy says in terms of how to prevent that. Now, we have a program at Northeast Delta Dental, and some other Delta member companies do as well, called PANDA, which stands for Prevent Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness. And that is really having to do with, you know, educating both the dental offices and parents that it's not really a good idea to send the baby to bed with bottled milk or whatever. So can you explain why that's probably not a good thing? And then we can talk a little bit about the PANDA program.
Sure, Tom. I would say it's definitely not a good thing to put a child to bed with a bottle full of anything that has sugar in it, whether that's milk or apple juice. It's certainly very tempting. Many of us know what it's like to have a screaming baby in the house, and you're tempted. You're at your wit's end, and you're tempted to do whatever it takes for them to quiet down.
That's never happened to us, has it? Go ahead. I had twins, remember, so tempting for sure. But go ahead.
But that's probably the worst thing you can do, because what you're doing when you put a child to bed or in the crib with a bottle is you're really allowing them to suck on that bottle all night, which effectively bathes their teeth in sugar. Just think about it. They're lying there in bed. They take a suck of the bottle. They get some milk or they get some sugar, or some apple juice. Maybe they don't swallow it right away. They are bathing their teeth in sugar. If you have to put a child to bed with a bottle, the best thing to do is put water in that bottle.
And the PANDA program, again, Prevent Abuse and Neglect Through Dental Awareness, is really we, Eleanor Vienne, and others on our team at Northeast Delta Dental, we really, you know, educate the dental offices. They actually have a responsibility to report and educate if, in fact, they suspect or anticipate that the baby has what I would call baby bottle syndrome. Is that the right word?
That's still the term that's used most frequently. And that's such a sad condition. That's when there are many, many cavities in a young child's mouth. Children have 20 teeth. I've seen cases where almost all 20 teeth are affected by cavities. And really, at that point in time, the only way they can be treated is to be taken to the hospital under general anesthesia, treated in the operating room. I'm sure that none of us would want that for our children or our grandchildren.
And after the commercial break, let's talk about sports drinks. I know we have some issues there, but then on a more positive subject, the Concord Coalition for Sealants, and I know that Sealants has really helped in this area. So after commercial break, I'll return with Dr. Randy Tillman, who is a dentist that works with us at Northeast Delta Dental, and she's enjoying New Hampshire life. Tom Raffio, please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And this weekend, October 31st and November 1st, with me is Dr. Randy Tillman. Before we get into today's subject, which is tooth decay in children, just want to remind my running friends that if you're listening to this on Sunday, November 1st, it's the Manchester Half and Full Marathon. 8:50 a.m. is the start time. If you're listening to this on Saturday, there's a really cool race in Concord called the Wicked Fit Run, and that's at 9:30 a.m. in Concord. The following week, November 7th and 8th, we have a new race at Concord Airport called the Runway 5K, and there is a connection to my work with the State Board of Education because that's being held at the Concord Airport, and one of the things we're promoting is STEM, which stands for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. Some people put an A in there for arts. I was an English major, so that's fine with me. But for my running friends, why don't you try Runway 5K on November 7th? And then I'm going to put a plug in for one of my former colleagues who died a few years ago after retirement, Frank Donovan. And Frank is actually the one that got me into media, ultimately responsible for a lot of the road racing sponsorships and all the things that we do, including this radio show. Really, the germ of that idea really came from Frank, including, you know, wellness and walking. He wasn't really a runner. He was a walker, but a lot of races now have a walking component. So that's November 14th at Northeast Delta Dental, 2 Delta, 5K, and that's at 10 a.m. So now back to Dr. Randy Tillman. So, Randy, you have a long career as a dentist and then as a corporate person working both at Delta Dental Plant of Massachusetts and now up here at Northeast Delta Dental. And while certainly we've made great strides in America on oral health, clearly there's more to go. So let's talk specifically first about sports drinks, and then I want to get into recommendations on how to deal with ECC, which again is early childhood caries.
Sure, Tom. I think a lot of us turn to sports drinks when we're working out, and we know that it will satisfy our needs for electrolytes, will replace electrolytes in our system. But we need to be aware as well that sports drinks can also contain a lot of sugar. So I think we need to look at labels carefully and eliminate those drinks that are really filled with sugar.
And brush and floss. We always say that, which is really cool. And before we get into the recommendations from the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry, would you explain for the listening audience? I get this question a lot in terms of sealants and how they're used for children and even selectively for adults now. But why don't you tell us about that? And of course, we've had Dr. Mills, one of your colleagues who's been on the show several times, has really talked about how the Concord Sealant Coalition has actually been very successful in the Concord area. But why don't you describe what it is?
Sure. Sealants are wonderful, Tom, and it's surprising to me that more people don't know about them. It's such a simple, easy procedure, very easy for the child. Think of taking a toothbrush and painting it over the biting surface of the posterior teeth. That's all that's involved. And what you're really doing is sealing those teeth with a plastic barrier so that decay can't get in. It's really, it is simple, it is elegant, and it's really very highly regarded in public health circles because it's an excellent preventive measure.
Super. And as we progress, selectively as well, I mean, your plan may not cover it, but occasionally sealants for an adult is also now being done?
Absolutely. We have evolved our thinking to understand that so much of dental disease is really patient-specific and risk-specific. So if I am somebody who's had a lot of decay throughout my life and I'm perceived to be at high risk, I could benefit from sealants. And just like for children, it's not invasive. It's an easy application on the part of my dentist as an adult. And I can't say enough good things about sealants. I cannot think of a reasonable reason not to have them applied on children's teeth.
Remember, this is New Hampshire, so I'm sure someone will think of a reason, but I agree with you, and fluoride is a good thing. We have a great website, by the way, called healththroughoralwellness.com, and Dr. Mills, Heather Brown, other of your colleagues have described what the Health Wellness program is. I just want to give everybody an update. Whether your employer has Northeast Delta Dental and whether they've adopted the Health Rural Wellness Program, or we sometimes call it HOW, definitely go to that website, healthruralwellness.com, to get some educational information on oral health. And one of the things we're trying to do is get a rubric called Provisor to have that universally done in dental offices, which through a series of questionnaires, the dentist can determine what your quote-unquote score is, and that may result in an additional cleaning in a given calendar year, or, you know, a sealant or so forth. So healthruralwellness.com. But let's get back to the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry. In connection with early childhood caries, they have some recommendations. So why don't you review those, Randy?
Sure. And I think they have some very practical recommendations. The first is that to visit a pediatric dentist no later than the child's first birthday. And I know there's a lot of confusion out there around this, because it used to be the child's third birthday. But now it is definitely bring your child to the dentist, to the pediatric dentist. Some say as early as 6 months at the emergence of the first tooth, but certainly no later than 1 year.
And I get that question a lot, because people still have that, even today, they still have that notion of age four. But what you're saying is, you know, when the first tooth erupts or by age one, get them in there. And I think there's much more cooperation and communication between your pediatrician and your dentist. And it's always a good thing. I mean, if your pediatrician is looking into your baby's mouth and says, you know, get to a dentist, I'm really loving the fact that I'm seeing much more cooperation as well.
There is much more integration, I'd say, between medical and dental these days as we get a better sense of the understanding of the relationship between the two. Another thing that the American Academy of Pediatric Dentistry has recommended is brushing your child's teeth twice a day. And I have to comment on this from a personal perspective. I'm the grandmother of two young
sons. You can't possibly be a grandmother.
They're 2 and 4 years old.
Wow. And they live in Massachusetts?
And they live in Massachusetts.
So you get to see them occasionally.
I see them a lot.
Good.
And I'm with them sometimes when they brush their teeth. The two-year-old likes to chew on the toothbrush. And the four-year-old just swishes it around in his mouth. So my point is that it's good that they're brushing the teeth, that they're, quote, brushing their teeth, but the parents have to intervene at the end and make sure that the teeth really get brushed. Nevertheless, I think it's good for children to learn the routine of brushing their teeth before they go to bed, and also in the morning, before they go to school or daycare or just get ready for the day. It's important that children brush their teeth and that the adults brush the children's teeth as well.
And forming those oral health habits is so important. That's why we have the Oral Health Challenge at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, where we're getting the children of Delta Dental subscribers used to the idea of brushing and flossing, and then they earn tickets to the Fisher Cats game. And it really has, I mean, I love sports, of course, but the whole point of the program was to get to start forming these habits. They get rewarded by getting to go to the Fisher Cats game, and they get to see the Tooth Fairy and so forth. But I think those, you know, early habits are established. And I know my parents didn't have the science behind this, but somehow instinctively, you know, they had us constantly going to the dentist and brushing and flossing. And I'm so glad that they did. So we've already talked about going to bed with formula, but maybe reiterate that and how not to do that.
Yeah, never ever put a child to bed with a bottle or a sippy cup or anything that has milk or formula or apple juice in it. And speaking of sippy cups, you know, many children use a sippy cup as a transition from a bottle.
I see that around the office too. Well, coffee, sippy cups. Oh, go ahead. I'm just being funny. Go ahead.
And it's very important that when your child transitions to the use of a sippy cup, don't leave the sippy cup around all day with milk in it or with apple juice in it, because, you know, they put it down, they pick it up 15 minutes later, they put it down, they pick it up again half an hour later. They're constantly bathing their teeth then with the sugary substance. So the sippy cup can be used for milk and it can be used for apple juice, but make sure those are sort of isolated, discrete occurrences. So some at breakfast, some at lunch, some at dinner, but the afternoon and morning sippy cup that they're walking around with, make sure there's water in that.
Love it. Now we're starting to sound like our grandparents, but healthy eating habits, of course, eating right, that plays into this as well.
Absolutely. Nutritional eating, carrots, celery, fruits, grapes, any healthy vegetables and fruits are very good for children. I have a personal opinion. I happen to have a sweet tooth. I think that children need some sweets, but they should be probably few and far between. But you don't want sweets to be such a forbidden fruit that it takes on abnormal importance later on in life. So
yeah, exactly. And I think as long as, you know, I mean, obviously, I think we would be in denial if we didn't think a kid's going to eat a few candy bars during the Halloween season. But again, if they then brush and gargle and things like that, I think we're okay, right?
I think we can manage it in small doses. The worst thing that, and this so bothers me, is lollipops. If there is one candy that I would say absolutely stay away from, it's lollipops.
Unless it's a xylitol lollipop.
Unless it's a xylitol lollipop.
Can you
lollipop.
Explain for the listening audience what that is? I don't think you can get those in drugstores, but maybe you can. Go ahead.
Xylitol lollipops are made with xylitol, and xylitol has proven to be an effective deterrent to dental decay. So yes, xylitol lollipops are a good thing. Other lollipops that you might see at Halloween are not so good. Again, they bathe the mouth in sugar. It takes 10-15 minutes to eat a lollipop, and that whole time there's sugar bathing the child's mouth.
Yes, and I just I mentioned the xylitol thing because when I started in my career at Delta Dental, there was a huge investment in xylitol lollipops, and a bunch of Delta plans bought some. We never could get them into the distribution network, you know, in drugstores and supermarkets, so it never really took off. But there is, in fact, gum that's xylitol-based as well.
Absolutely.
And lollipops, if you happen to find that, that's okay. But, I mean, I think you probably would have to really search. Okay, so you're a dentist. You have experience in the corporation. You're a mother. You're a grandmother. So why don't you close with some final helpful hints if you want to make sure that your children grow up with healthy teeth and the right habits. Well, why don't you summarize for us?
I think the most important thing you can do is to teach them good oral health care at a young age, and to make taking care of their teeth a part of their daily routine, so that they know they brush their teeth before they go to bed. They know they brush their teeth before they go to school in the morning. It's a twice a day habit. I think that's the best thing you can do for your children.
So like a lot of things, perfect practice makes perfect, and whether it's, you know, getting to a routine of exercise, good eating, brushing and flossing, that has to be part of your daily regimen. Well, I learned a lot. I know some of this was common sense, but some I know was new information for our listening audience. Dr. Randy, I hope to have you back, and thank you for coming in on October 31st and November 1st, and you can now get your costume on and go out with your grandchildren. Tom Raffio will return next weekend with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.